Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Let me see which verse here we want to go to. I'm going to go to Genesis, all right? I mentioned this Wednesday. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 14. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. This is the spot right here. Okay. Verse 14. And so it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms you shall make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark, you know, he goes on through some things here. Let's just jump down to verse 17. He just goes through the measurements of the ark and stuff. And it says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die, but with you I shall establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. He goes through the animals here. Let's just jump right down to verse 21 here. And take thou unto you of all food that is eaten, you shall gather it unto you, and it shall be food for you and for them. And thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him, so did he. First thing I want to point out, that there's an ark, right? And the only other part in the Bible where this word is used, this word for ark, don't confuse us with the Ark of the Covenant. It's not the same word. I know for us that use English Bibles, obviously, it's the same word, Ark of the Covenant, and it's ark here. But they're totally dissimilar words in Hebrew, okay? So, but this word ark here, the only other time it's used, it's not even translated ark in most Bibles, it's when Moses was put in an ark, in a basket, and he was put in the reeds. Sometimes we get this picture of Moses like floating down the river, like Prince of Egypt kind of thing, if you've seen that movie. It wasn't like that. The alligators weren't going to like get him or nothing. The ark, though, was put among the reeds by the river. I think it would be pretty risky just to float him downstream and just hope he got where he was going. But he was actually placed among the reeds in probably like the shallow part. And that word is ark, okay? And that's the only other time in the Bible that this word is used. In both times in the Bible where this word ark is used, it's referring to the flesh, all right? The word actually means box. Yeah, Moses was laid in a box. And in the parable, because obviously you can read about Moses and set the basket and that whole deal, but that's also symbolic also, just like everything else in the Bible has different meanings to point to Jesus. And in the Bible, Moses was put in an ark, and there's so much more I can go into this, but that's actually, if I'm going to just paraphrase this whole thing, that's a picture of Jesus taking on flesh, okay? Raised by an Egyptian woman. There's a whole thing behind it. But just for sake of time, you can just take my word for it right now that ark is talking about Jesus taking on flesh. And this also, this word ark, is in symbol. It's the same symbolism here. Okay? This is the kind of message that upstairs, if I were teaching upstairs, I would have done like a big long series on. So there's going to be a lot of verses that I have that I'm not going to have time to give you. So please, I always say this, but I'm really saying this like truthfully. If you have a question after the message and you're like, okay, I get that. You're saying this is symbolic for this, but where's the scripture for it? I have scriptures. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I have scriptures that I can totally give you if you want more verses on it, okay? So anyway, but the point is, though, that the ark here is talking about flesh or the body. And God told Noah to make a body, you could say. Okay, it's really important that we understand that. Noah is a picture of Jesus, okay, which should make sense to us because God tells Noah to build a body, all right? And the ark is the body, And Noah is the builder of the body. And we know, there's again, I have verses for this. Like I think sometimes people are probably like, oh, he probably just says that out of habit all the time. Like, no, I seriously have verses for this. There's things with Solomon, how Solomon built his temple. Noah built his ark. Jesus is a builder. In Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus is the, how we are his house. And in the Bible, there's so many verses that talk about Jesus, basically the builder of the body of Christ, okay? So, again, like Solomon built his temple, the temple's a picture of us, the body of Christ, and when someone gets saved, it's like they're added like a living stone into the temple. Same symbolism here, okay? Noah is Jesus, and the ark, he's building this ark, right? And I'm going to go through more proof here, but Jesus is the one that has built us up in as a household for his spirit, okay? Or spiritual household, like the Bible will say, but it's more like house of his spirit, all right? Just because the Bible says that we're built up as like living stones, but some translations say as a spiritual household. But we're not a spiritual household. The household is actually physical. It's a household for his spirit, okay? It's the word should be turned around there in that verse in Peter. So Noah is Jesus, and he's building his house, you could say, okay? Just for our terms right now. And here's the interesting thing that should line right up with that symbolism in our minds. That God gives him the plans for the ark and says, you got to build an ark just like this. But, and in verse 22, it says, thus did Noah. Now, the Bible doesn't show you, it doesn't seem from the if you're looking at this as like a parable, because this is a true historical account, but it's also a parable. Okay, and I'll give you verses for that in a second. But you see the dilemma I have sometimes. I'm like, yeah, we'll get to it in a second. There's so much material, okay? But Noah, being a picture of Jesus, it said that he did all that God commanded him. It says, so did he. But between, this is the last verse of chapter 6, between that and the first verse of chapter 7, it doesn't seem to record Noah building the ark. It just says that he did it. Okay, but if you'll look, if we can just go next chapter, remember there's no chapters in the original Bible, just in our English translations there's chapters. So keep reading seamlessly. And the Lord said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Notice this though, this is the really amazing thing, and I'll show you this in a second. It does, if you're reading this as a parable, okay, symbolically the way we are right now, because it has meaning this way. It does record the materials Noah used to build the ark. Watch. Right there in verse 1. The Lord said, Noah, come you and all your house into the ark. That's actually, God's ark is built of Noah and his household. You follow me with that? Okay, if we're called the temple right here, we're not actually a temple like built of rocks, right? But we are Noah, which is Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone of his household, like a part of the foundation of his household, and we're built upon, you know, that foundation. So obviously we're not rocks. So Jesus' house is built up of what? Him and his household, right? Him and us. We're his house. So it does. And if you're reading this, it says God told Noah, build an ark. It says, and Noah built the ark. And then the Lord said to Noah, come you and your house into the ark. That, symbolically, is how Jesus built his ark, okay? His body built his household. It's God's ark is made up of Jesus, Noah, and his household, okay? So everyone follow me on that so far, okay? There's a lot of really cool things, because he orders Noah to bring in to the ark also every clean beast and every unclean beast. And I believe that's talking about Jew and Gentile. You and your household. Whether that be Jew, whether it be Gentile. Clean or unclean. Because God showed Peter in a vision. Clean and unclean animals. And he told Peter that was the Gentiles. So he says, clean animals, unclean animals. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. Noah, you and your household. Jew and Gentile, come into this ark. But you know what I'm saying? Like he's actually, if you're reading this symbolically, the ark is Noah and his household. Okay, so you catch that? Now, let's just keep reading, but let me get a verse for you. Okay. So God gives Noah further instructions here. There's a lot of symbolism here. Let's go jump down to verse 6. Really, really important. Now let me ask you, how were you built into God's household? Like, just get your mind out of symbolism right now. Just think. Like, how did you become a part of the house of God? You don't have to answer me out loud, but just think to yourself, how did you become part of God's house? Well, God came on the inside of you, and now you're his house, right? Now you're a part of his house. We're not one household like we're literally staying on top of each other, right? But we are all one household. Jesus being the first that the Holy Spirit came into in his resurrection, came into him and raised him from the dead, and now he's controlled by the Spirit. He died to sin on the cross, and now he's controlled by the Holy Spirit in his resurrection. So he's the first of God's household, Noah. But we're his household also, the Holy Spirit. How do we become part of that? We were baptized into Christ, the Bible says. Baptism just means the Holy Spirit living in you. Okay? Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a second occurrence. Baptism, and again, I can prove that to you up one side and down the other if you want a verse for that, because I hate when people say that baptism in the Holy Spirit is a second occurrence. How do you become part of the body of Christ? Well, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. In other words, let's say it plainly. How did you become a Christian? The Holy Spirit came on the inside of you. Now you're a Christian. Right? I mean, as simple as that. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not the house of God. If you do have the Holy Spirit in you, you are the house of God. Right? Simple enough. Now, we just read that Noah is Jesus. He's building an ark. What is the ark made out of? It says right there, God said, you and your household come into the ark. And that's what happened. Okay, in other words, he's talking about the building. But now it's going to show you how the ark, the household of God, how believers, the house of God, get built. Okay? Verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when, look at the flood, pay very close attention to verse 6 and 7. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So what do you got right now? It mentioned that the flood was upon the earth, correct? Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. It says the flood came there, right? Now look at verse 7. And Noah went in. And let me finish. Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Okay? Now, watch this. What came first? Noah went in the ark first, or the flood came first in these two verses? I'm not asking you what happened historically. I'm asking you the order of the verses. What came first, the flood or going into the ark? The flood came first, right? Now, obviously, we know historically that it's not that if you're reading as a historical account, it's not saying that God sent the flood all upon the earth, and then as the waters was taking the ark away, Noah swam and got into the ark, right? But read this symbolically with me, though. If you read it symbolically, every single word in the Bible is important. This is why we don't read from New Living Translation. We don't read from the Message Bible. We don't read from New International Version. It has nothing to do with prejudice against a translation. It has everything to do with we read from a word-for-word translation. Okay? Any paraphrase translation is not a translation. It's a Christian book. That's the way it is. Okay? Again, let's talk after if you want to. But Noah went in after the flood came. I'm going to add one more symbol to this. The flood, which came down out of heaven, the flood, and I have more verses for this also, is the Holy Spirit. There's so many verses about this. But the flood is the Holy Spirit. If you keep reading through the account, this flood, it says, was rained down out of heaven and flooded the earth and killed the earth. Okay, that's what happened. But I'm not going to go, I'm trying not to go like too crazy into this. But so the flood is the Holy Spirit. The ark is the household of God, made up of Jesus and us. Noah is Jesus. So let's read it like this, okay? I'm going to show you right now, and this is not my opinion. This is not something we believe at HC here. This is what God intended to mean for all of us as believers, not just for us today, but since the day it was written, this is what God meant when he wrote it, okay? I'm not... Peter refers to the same kind of symbolism that I'm talking about right now. And maybe we'll go to that verse in a second. But if you read it like this, let's see. Okay, verse 6 and 7. So Noah was 600 years old. I'm not going to go into the 600 years old now because obviously that is symbolic though. But if you just take Noah right now, for right now, Noah being Jesus, it says Noah was, 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So the Holy Spirit was upon the earth. In other words, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming. Or in other words, salvation now coming. And Jesus went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Even the words there, I mean, I like even that translation right there, because of the waters of the flood. I mean, that's how is it that Noah, Jesus, went in and all of his household went into the ark? How were we all built up into this ark, into this spiritual house? Because of the waters of the flood.
There's a verse, that's literally like, there's a verse in the New Testament, I'm blanking on where it is right now. But it says, and you were all baptized into Christ Jesus. It may be in Galatians. But that's the symbolic version of that verse. The baptism, the flood waters were upon the earth. The flood is the baptism. Okay? They were all, you could say, baptized in water. Flood water was upon the earth, that's the baptism. And then what happened? And then Noah goes in. Why would God put those verses, like, seemingly backwards, for symbolic purposes? Because think about it. If we're talking symbolically, you getting saved, right? Or you become part of God's house. Which came first? The flood waters or you becoming part of the household? The flood waters had to come first. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit and then became the household of God. That's what the Bible says. You were baptized into Christ Jesus. They were baptized into the ark. I mean, it literally says that. The flood waters was upon the earth and Noah went in. That's the only reason why God would put the flood first and then Noah went in. Okay, so Noah and his household go in. So I say all this to tell you this. The ark is the body of Christ, including Jesus, okay? Including Jesus. Jesus is the head of this body. What we received as believers is no different than what Jesus received in his resurrection. Okay, we call it becoming a Christian, but more accurately, it's really just becoming part of the body. Okay, again, the same way that the Holy Spirit took control of Jesus when he was raised from the dead is the same way that now we have the Holy Spirit in us to control us now, okay, in the exact same fashion. So, we are all the household of God. Jesus is not like, just so you know, Jesus' authority over us, but in measure of what he's received, Jesus is not one up on us in any way. He shared everything with us. We're one with him, okay? We're all part of the same household, housing the same Spirit. Including Jesus. Jesus and us, we're all housing the same Spirit. We're all an ark, a box, a body, housing the same Spirit, okay? The floodwaters. Make sense? Baptism into the ark. Now, because we know that now we can read everything else in context. Let's see. Let me show you one more thing in this chapter. Because we're in chapter 7, right? Yeah, let me show you one more thing in chapter 7. Let's go to verse 18. Can we switch over to Young's Literal, at least for now? YLT. Just so you guys know, the teens know this well, but Young's Literal is like one of the best translations. Like, I don't care who says what. Verse 18. There we go. Now remember, the water or the flood is the Holy Spirit, okay? Which the Holy Spirit is commonly called water in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is mighty. And multiply exceedingly upon the earth. This is talking about when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2. And multiply exceedingly upon the earth. And the ark goes on the face of the waters. That word go is not the word go, it's the word walk. Other translations say walk. If you guys are saying, where did you get all this? Like, where are you getting that word go means this? Like, where are you getting all those things? As funny as it sounds, just download an app and get what's called a Strong's Bible. You can click on any word and you can hold the translators accountable for what they translated. Okay? We shouldn't be stupid, right? I mean, you don't need any special tool to understand what I'm just telling you right now. I didn't get a special tool that told me Noah is symbolic of Jesus. Nobody taught me that. Okay? I can't say nobody, but no person taught me that. Okay? Jesus did. And that's obviously the way it is for all of us, but all this stuff, though, it's good to hold translators accountable. Because, just to share a little rabbit trail here, I used to read out of a paraphrase translation, an easy read translation. And somebody gave me a parallel Bible. And it had the New American Standard Bible in it, which is not the best translation. It still has a lot of easy read stuff in it. But it's a word for word translation. And I started comparing that with the New Living that we were reading for years before that. And I started questioning because the things that God really, I felt, was really showing me, it was lining up with the NASB and it was not lining up with the New Living. I mean, the New Living translation will tell you that you're a sinner as a Christian. It says that in the Bible. There's so many things in there. If you're reading an easy read translation, you'll only understand as much as the translators want you to understand, because it's their opinion on what a verse means. You will never, unless you're just not reading the Bible and going straight off the Holy Spirit, which is very possible. That's not the case with most people. But unless you're doing that, if you're actually reading a Bible to get any advantage out of it, a New Living Translation, the Message Bible especially, I'm not just bashing a translation, paraphrase translations in general, you will never know God the way that He intended you to know Him. Ever. Ever. Unless you're just totally, like I said, not reading anything, and God's just giving you straight revelation, straight from your belly up to your head, it is impossible to get anything more than that translator's opinion in that translation. Well, who are you to say that? Because they're Can I ask you this? And this is the last thing I'll say. What's a Christian book? Hopefully, it's somebody paraphrasing what Scripture says to help you understand. Right? Like what we're doing right now. Right? And that's exactly what an easy read translation is. It's somebody paraphrasing a verse for you. And just so you know, if God's on one end, and I got a translator in between me and God, I don't want him paraphrasing what he thinks God meant. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a little bit important seeing if the Word of God is the only way that you're ever going to experience what Christ first took hold of you for? Is God's Word? Now, I'm not calling the Bible God's Word. I'm talking about that message. God's Word, the message of the Gospel, is the only way you're ever going to experience anything of what's on the inside of you right now. We just talked about this on Wednesday. It's the knowledge of Jesus that unlocks all this stuff for us. And you're going to put a translator in between you and God who's not interested in telling you what God actually said? I mean, I don't know why we think that's okay, but it's not. Trust me. This is why Young's Literal Translation, I'm a huge advocate of that. Go on the recommendation page on the website for more about that. Lots of good stuff there. So the waters, clearly though, it says in Young's Literal, the waters became mighty on the earth. And again, this is Acts 2 kind of stuff. The waters are mighty. They multiply exceedingly upon the earth. And the ark walks on the... And so you can see Young's Literal is not even a perfect translation. Because even here it says goes. But if you click that word in a Strong's Bible, again, hold the translators accountable for what they wrote. Don't just be dumb, and in other words, and just, oh, you know what? You said it, so you said the word go, so it must, that's what God must have written in the Hebrew Bible. It must be go. You know, don't be gullible. Challenge them by getting a Strong's Bible. Say, okay, what is that word really? You're telling me that's what it is, but let me see for myself. Great tool. The ark walks on the face of the waters. So check this out. That's actually how the body of Christ is supposed to operate. We walk upon the waters. I'm not talking about walking on the waters like Peter walking on the water. Just think about this right here. The water is what? The Holy Spirit, right? Let's stay consistent with that. The water is the Holy Spirit. And the ark is who? That's the body of Christ. That's us. And we walk what? On top of the waters, okay? That our walking is done how? When we walk, in other words, our walk, this is like saying walk by the Spirit. Okay, we walk upon the waters. Your body right now is literally upon the waters. Your body, this is accurate. If the ark is us, and the water is Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit, then what should that mean? Then us, we walk on top of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it means. Your body right now is on top of the Holy Spirit. And you're walking being done by the Spirit, okay? So all of your walking is now done with the Holy Spirit inside of you. You on top of the Holy Spirit. And that's how that's walking by the Spirit. So this is an Acts 2 kind of thing. The ark, we've all just been baptized into one body, into one ark. And this ark now is walking on top of the Holy Spirit now. Not doing its own walking, but walking with the Holy Spirit inside of it now, okay? That's walking by the Spirit. And check this out. This is the verse that I was talking to you guys about on Wednesday, and I'll get to read it to you now. And the waters have been very, very mighty on the earth. Against the Holy Spirit. You see, this is where like the ark is taken over by the Holy Spirit. How we, when you were saved, you received the Spirit of God inside of you to be Spirit controlled, to be given rest so that you wouldn't have to operate anymore, so that God could operate through you. And the waters have been very, very mighty on the earth. That's the power of God now taking over for us. And covered, watch this, and covered are all the high mountains which are under the whole heavens. I'm going to breeze through this verse. Again, this is the verse, we're really not going to understand this totally unless you get the message from Wednesday. But Wednesday we were talking about how, remember we were talking about the heavens are on the inside of us? I was talking about the high heavens where God is. The high heavens. Remember we said the top of the high places. Remember that from Proverbs 8. The top of the high places, that there's a way to access these things and we can do so. That was Wednesday. But I said that if you read this symbolically, this passage, it shows you that the top of the high places, in other words, the highest heaven where God is, has come down underneath all the heavens and now resides inside of us. So you can access heaven, but you're not accessing anything from above your head. You're accessing from below yourself, okay? Underneath you right now, underneath your skin, underneath your flesh, is the Holy Spirit. It is the high places, the highest of the high places inside of you, okay? Now, one word I want to give you here, and then we're going to have to zoom through some stuff here, okay? We got all that ark stuff so far. Now, the word mountain in the Bible, again, ask me for a verse about this, but the word mountain in the Bible means heaven all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. When you actually come up with a definition for a word in the Bible, it's just a definition throughout the whole Bible. So you can bank on that. Anytime you read the word mountain in the Bible, it's always talking about heaven if you're reading it symbolically, the way we are right now. In the Bible, if you're questioning me about, does this stuff really have two meanings? Like, can you? When I read Noah, I just read about Noah. I'm not reading about Jesus and baptism and stuff. I'm a little skeptical about that. Another verse that you can ask me for afterwards. But there is a verse in the Bible that talks about how God, when God speaks, this is that it can have different mouths. In other words, it's saying different things at the same time. Then they're all true. This historically, Noah here, it's historically true. Don't let evolutionists or people that are, you know, in this world talk you out. That's a true historical document. A worldwide flood really covered the earth. That's all true. But you can also, it has different mouths. So one mouth is, that's what Noah did. He built a boat. They were on the water for a long time. And then, you know, he multiplied after that and that whole deal. He was saved. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is also another mouth that it can speak to us. So if you take my word for now about mountains is heaven all the time. Like, okay, give you a quick verse. You know, people say, I look to the hills from where my help comes from, right? What is that even talking about? I don't even know why people quote that verse. It's not worth quoting if you don't know what it means. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Bible's not going to help you unless you know what it means. To just say, I look to the hills from where my help comes from, I personally don't know what people mean by that. Because they're not saying heaven. They don't know what hills means. Most people don't. So, I look to the hills from where my help comes from. Well, hills or mountain is talking about heaven. So now it makes a lot of sense, right? Like David's saying, I look to the heavens from where my help comes from. You know, it makes a lot of sense now. But look at this. And I'm not going to flood you, no pun intended, that wasn't on purpose. with symbolism here. This verse is my main verse, right? Alright, where are we at here? The flood came, the ark was therefore built, in other words, the Holy Spirit came, and therefore the household of God began being built. We just said the waters were now mighty upon the earth, and in other words, instead of us, and now our walking being done by the Holy Spirit, all that stuff's in here. Verse 19, the waters have been very, very mighty on the earth and covered. Now watch this. What does mountain mean? All the time. It always means heavens. Symbolically. Covered are all the high heavens, which are under the whole heavens. Very, very quickly. There are several heavens. Okay, I think maybe three, judging by what Paul said. Paul said there were at least three in 2 Corinthians 12. There are at least three, but there's several. Let's just say, right? There's several heavens. Several of them. God's in the highest one. That's where everything's perfect. That's what we talk about. The kingdom of God. All that stuff, right? That's the highest heaven. Now, this says, after this baptism comes, the Holy Spirit comes, and now we're part of the household of God. At that point, the waters become very mighty on the earth. And watch this. And covered are all the high mountains. But the word mountain means heaven, if you're reading it symbolically. So covered are all the high heavens, which are under the whole heavens, or all the heavens. So look at this. And I've told the teens this before, but if we're talking about the highest heaven, right, where God is, or the high mountains where God is, where do you think that is? I mean, I'm not a scholar, I'm not, but probably higher than all the other ones, right? It's called the highest, like glory to God who's in the highest heaven, right? It's probably higher than all the other ones. This says all the high heavens are under all the heavens. And there are several heavens. I believe that some of the heavens are probably right. It's kind of like in the midst of us, like in the spiritual realm. But think about this. At the point of baptism, for the ark that is, at the point of baptism, it says that now all the high heavens are lower than all the heavens. The high heavens are now the lowest heavens. And furthermore, they're covered. They're covered up with something. Okay? So all you have to know right now is this. According to Scripture, according to what this says, isn't it amazing? You can see Jesus in everything, okay? God's not short on knowledge to give you. He's just short on people listening to Him. Just listen and God will endow you with knowledge. He will. And if you don't believe that, then you're calling God a liar. God will endow you with knowledge if you listen to Him. If you never endow with knowledge for the rest of your life, you were never listening. Okay? It's impossible. You'll always find if you continue to listen. Not the first day you listen. If you continue to listen. The Bible says, abide in my word. That means continue hearing what I have to say, and then you'll know the truth. I'm not talking about a day. I'm not talking about I went to church that one time. You will never know the truth by coming to church. You'll never know the truth by doing devotions. I'm talking about all day long. You say, you know what, Jesus? This is not what I do at church anymore. This is now my life. My life is to listen to you. Until you get there, you will not know the truth. You will never know the truth until you get there. Abide in my word, and you shall know the truth. Listening is not hard. I'm not talking about reading your Bible all day. I'm not talking about going to church all day. I'm not talking about listening to worship music all day. I just said listen all day. As often as you remember throughout your day, say, you know what, Lord? You don't have to say anything. I'm just verbalizing it for you. I'm listening. Simple as that. I'm not coming up with a concept to think about right now. I'm not trying to come up with a thought to meditate on. Just listening. Just listening. Lord's beloved son, just listen to him. That's it. Just listen. That's it. And you shall know the truth. Period. You know, none of us in here have any intellect. Forgive me, I'll edit this out, but our intellect sucks. All of it. All of it. All of us in here, it collectively does. We're horrible at thinking. We don't know what to think. The Bible says there's no one that knows God, no one that seeks after God. You don't just come up with something. Again, our intellect sucks, and if that offends you, I'm sorry. I'm really not trying to. I'm just trying to give you a nice, dirty word that you can say at church for what we come up with when we think real hard. In fact, the more you know the Lord, the more your intellectual people that you used to agree with sound really stupid now. Like, really stupid. You can take that from a lot of people today that talk on news media and elsewhere in colleges and universities. It sounds really, really stupid. Really dumb, okay? Wisdom of men, foolishness to God. So anyhow, this is what it means, though. Let's get back to this. Covered up are all the high heavens. And that's true, right? Isn't that true of us now? That once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, once you, the ark, are brought into the household of God and you're baptized in the flood, isn't it true that now the high heavens where God is, not a piece of it, the whole image of heaven and everything it has to offer, being the Holy Spirit, is now covered up now. Underneath all the heavens now, came below all the heavens, and is now covered up somewhere. And I'll show you where it's covered up in. Obviously, you already know where the Holy Spirit's covered up in, so you can already answer it plainly for yourself, but I'm going to show you symbolically what's the high heavens covered up with. If you were to keep reading to verse 20, 15 cubits upward, have the waters become mighty, and the mountains are covered. That's talking about where God is. Where God is covered up now. Once the baptism of the Holy Spirit came. Real quick, let's run to verse 4 of chapter 8. Genesis 8:4. Genesis 8:4. Alright. Genesis 8, verse 4. And the ark rests. That's a great verse right there. And the ark rests. Once you know it's the body of Christ, now you're like, wow. Like, and the ark rests. You know, I won't go into that. We got to get done at some point. So the ark rests in the seventh month, in the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Now, the word Ararat has symbolic significance. Again, if you have one of those strong Bibles, you can click Ararat and see what Ararat means. Okay? But the word of the mountain, the name of the mountain is not important right now. But look at this. The ark rests now. Because why? The waters, the Holy Spirit has become very, very mighty for us now. During the baptism, it says the waters became very, very mighty, and now the ark rests. Alright? That's us. You see, this is how everybody can live. We can all live that way. We can all live and never feel stressed, like Miss Lindsay was just saying. You can never feel nervous, never feel, you know, what's the word? Never feel so, like discontent, like you have to push yourself to do more, because all that discontentment, I need to do more, all that stuff, we think it's godly. This determination, I'm just going to make a choice now, I'm going to rededicate my life kind of stuff, all that kind of stuff. That discontentment that you feel, where it's like, I should be doing more, all that stuff, you can live all without that stuff. That's nothing that God's ever ordained for you. God reserved a rest for you. The ark rests on the mountains. Remember I said the mountains, or in other words, the heavens, the highest heavens, were covered up under something? What's it covered up under? The ark is on the mountains. So, let's just show you like this. I'm going to close up in a second. The ark, this body, and I can say the same for you, but I'm just using this as an example. This wasn't the ark at one point, but then the floodwaters came, became very, very mighty for me. Just like Noah, Jesus, our predecessor, we were built up into the ark. Again, if you read it, it's like Noah and his household are the materials for the ark. We were built up into the ark. The waters became very, very mighty for us. And now we all rest on top of the highest heavens. The highest heavens that we're talking about sometimes, that we have access to, that God can produce through you, is not something that's above you. Every time you look up during praise and worship and you're thinking, Lord, please reach down and do something about my situation, it's not biblical, it's not correct, and it's only hindering you because you're looking in the wrong direction. You know, you can go like this during praise and worship as long as your heart is not focused above you, because that's not where anything is coming from anymore. That verse I gave you before where it says, David, I look to the hills from where my help comes from. He's talking above him. That was in the Old Testament. That's fine. God's about truth, right? God's not about making somebody just feel good and lying to them in the process. God's not going to lie to you. God's not a man that he should lie. He'll never lie to you. God will never lie to you. That's why I trust him so much. If I'm listening, I don't care what I'm thinking right now. As long as I'm listening, you got control of my heart then. I don't care what I'm thinking then, because I totally trust you. You're not going to lie to me. You're not going to lead me astray. If you're listening to God, you could care less then. You should care less about what you're thinking. Once you're listening, stop there. Well, if you're listening and then trying to bring the right thoughts, then why listen? Why listen if you're going to bring the right thoughts into your head? Why bother listening? Then just go straight to the good thoughts then. We listen because we can't think right for ourselves, so we just listen. Once you listen, stop there. Don't listen and say, okay, I'm listening now. Now, what are you saying, God? Are you saying this? Are you saying this? No. That you just made it way hard on yourself. It's not easy. It's not light anymore. If you think listening is hard or it's burdensome, I'm not going to tell you that sometimes listening is hard, but you know. No. It's that you're doing it wrong, is the point. You're doing it wrong. If life's hard, you're doing life wrong. You are. Life's not hard. Once you have the Holy Spirit, your life's not hard. Do one thing, listen, but then stop. I'm listening. I don't have to put the right thoughts in. Again, then you must be an awesome teacher. Then teach yourself the truth. If you know the right thoughts to put into your brain, then teach yourself. You don't need a shepherd for your soul. You're shepherd enough then. But if you're not shepherd enough, which obviously I hope we'd all agree with that, especially as born-again believers, even someone who's not saved might agree with that, that they're not a good shepherd of their soul. But for believers, we say, no, that's the whole point of why I got saved. I need Jesus. And in your head, you need Jesus too. So when you listen to Jesus, don't listen and then wonder what you should be thinking. Just listen. Whatever comes into your head, leave it. Leave it. How can you say that? How can you say that to people? The knowledge of the truth is so important. That's why I can say that. It's so important. And if you do anything more than listening, you're going to hinder it. The knowledge of the truth is so important that you have to give it up before you're going to get it. If you value the truth at all, then stop. Because think about it. If the truth is so important and you know you're not good at it, should you step back then? Like we you say, Pastor Mike, you're always talking about knowing the truth and knowing God and knowing Jesus, and that's everything. And it is everything. That's why I'm telling you to step back, because you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. You're going to make it really hard on yourself, and for no reason, because it's not going to produce anything. All your anguish and all of your hard thinking, that's not doing anything. If anything happened after that, it's because you were listening to a small extent and God fit something in there. You're not doing anything. It's too important to do anything more than just listen to a shepherd that can actually do something about your thinking. Trust me, I'm for renewing the mind. I don't agree with most people I talk to today. Don't think that I don't agree with the fact that people need their minds renewed. I mean, like, and it doesn't have to be this way, but it's happened before where you want to slam somebody in the head because you're like, how could you think that? But you know what? You know why you don't slam someone in the head? Because your effort for yourself ain't going to do no good. Your effort and someone else ain't going to do no good. Just listen to Jesus. You're doing a great service to yourself and everybody else. This is why a while ago I said, and I'm not going to get on the touchy subject again, but this is why a while ago I said that Christians should be favored in this country just like the military is. Why would you do that? Think about it. Just think about it for a second. Let's be sober here, right? How many of you guys are mad because the military is ever honored when they come back from war? Why don't we call it discrimination? Isn't that favoritism? You're darn right it's favoritism. There are perks that military... I mean, I know. I have a friend who's in the military. He gets perks. He gets stuff paid for. I don't get paid for from the government. We should all protest. I guarantee you that they would have nothing to say to us. We start protesting. And if they did have something to say, you know what they probably would say? Well, they did a service to the country. There's no one who does a bigger service to this country than believers. Your mere faith... just to get saved is doing something for the country. Let alone when you're actually pursuing the knowledge of Jesus and let the Holy Spirit buck wild in your life and in everywhere else. That's doing something for this country. The Christian faith is the only faith that should ever be considered a faith. Everything else is deception. It's just not a faith. Faith, we say, oh, it's your faith. It's not faith. Faith means I see it. They don't see anything. It's not faith. There's no such thing as a Buddhist faith. It's a Buddhist belief, maybe, but it's not faith. Faith is seeing Jesus. And if we can't favor Christians in this country and support anyone who does favor them, and I know people right now that are favoring Christians and they're getting persecuted for it. And you know what? More power to you. More power to you. God bless you. It's true. Anyone that wants to favor Christians, God bless that person. You can say that about someone who's not saved. God bless you. Not because they believe in Jesus, because I believe in Jesus and you're helping me. Blessed are those who bless me. Curse those who curse me. You bless me, God bless you. It's not just when someone sneezes. God bless you. If someone blesses you, then God bless you back. And it's okay to say, if somebody curses you, verbally, assaults you physically, doesn't matter what it is. You can allow the Lord room for vengeance, and God will curse that person. And He will make sure they feel it the way that that person made you feel it. That's okay to say. You think God should treat Christians the same way He treats the whole rest of the world who denies the only way to receive from Him? It's okay to favor those in your own household. It's okay to favor those of your own country over other countries. That's okay. What's the point in God sending Jesus if he gets to treat everybody the same? God has to send Jesus and says, this is the way to receive from me. But then if you don't receive through him, it's okay, I'll still treat you the same way. Then God wouldn't have had to send Jesus. He could just treat everybody nice without Jesus. No, if you want to get treated nice by God, you come through the way to receive, which is Christ. And God favors you. God doesn't favor the world. He favors you. That's not a term for Mary, highly favored. That's not a term for Mary. Mary had no advantage just because she gave birth to a physical body. That's not a thing. Mary had nothing that you don't have. At that time, she had even less. Right now, in heaven, she doesn't have anything that you don't have. And God favors His own household. And we should favor our own households. And that's all I'll say. We should favor our own households. And right now, just so you know, we got serious issues. People got their head somewheres, though, is what I mean today. Persecuting somebody for taking care of his household at the expense of somebody else's household. I hope you understand reading between the lines because I don't really have to say it. That should be a no-brainer for everybody in here. No-brainer. Like, thank God he did that. And yet, people have already stopped him from doing it. People have already stopped this man from taking care of his own household, even if it means somebody has some other country, if it's at their expense. America first. That's a godly principle. I mean godly. Like that's from God. Like that's not originating with a man. That's from God. And most people are open borders, do whatever you want, you can come and go as you please, and we're going to treat everybody the same. That's wrong. That's wrong. The Bible, even for you as a Christian, the Bible tells you to favor Christians over everybody else. It says that. We love everybody. But the Bible says that to do good to all men, that's Jew or Gentile, in other words, saved or unsaved, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're saved or unsaved, you do good to all men as you have opportunity. Especially, you know what especially means? It means special. Especially means favored. Especially means in highest rank. Especially those of the household of God. You take care of your household first. It's like giving to this church right here, and you can't feed your kids. Now in America, I don't totally buy that because what we call poor is not really poor. There's plenty of jobs out there. There's plenty of ways to make money. Just do something you don't maybe like at first. Flip a burger, it's okay. If it's going to hurt your pride, then you need to pride yourself on something else. But if you're even giving somewhere at the expense of your own household, your priorities are whack or out of whack. I'm just trying to tell you that the things that God does, He does with a certain agenda, always. You first, and to be quite honest, the world, even witnessing to the world, that comes second. Witnessing to the world comes second after making sure you know the truth. That's second place for God. They are not first in His list. Why? Well, for a lot of reasons. First being, you're righteous, they're not. Because you received Jesus, they're not. There's a lot of other reasons also. We should respect God's order in things. You don't got to study the Bible for what's God's order in a family or a household. Just know Jesus, and He'll become to you wisdom. I didn't get that because I read the Bible to get to know, oh, what's your order, God? No, no, no. You just get to know Jesus. And Christ is to you wisdom and righteousness and strength and all that good stuff. It just kind of comes out. Can you imagine that? Your priorities get straightened just because you know one thing. You weren't trying to get to know that thing, but you know that thing because you knew this person. That's the way it goes. So, there's a lot of stuff there. Lots and lots and lots of stuff. Well, nothing about Noah, but that's where we kind of went. So that's all right. All right. Let's see. All right. Let's run real quick to just one more thing, just so I can prove this to you real quick. I'm going to go back to King James Version. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's jump down to verse 14. Matthew 5:14. I just want to prove that whole mountain underneath you thing. It's all over the Bible, but here's just another verse for you. You are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city. You. Remember, he's talking about you as a believer. You. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And I'll stop right there. You are a city set on top of a hill. Hopefully you already, obviously already see my point in going there. Because you understand that believers typically don't know what they're talking about. I'm not trying to bash believers against our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm just being truthful with you. People don't typically know what they're talking about. Like, they say stuff. You listen to Christian music, it's a pretty good representation. But it's even the stuff that I'll listen to, and you kind of, okay, I can kind of get away with that. Because I'll kind of like, okay, that's listenable. I don't believe that they know really what they're talking about. They're just kind of saying stuff. Just like I said about translations before, you read something, it's great to have a Strong's translation. It's not the only way you can get, it's not how you get revelation, but it's a great thing because you get to challenge people that are telling you stuff. I mean, I guarantee you, I mean, right now we got you guys here. I'm not sure, you guys go to public school, right? You're right? I'm just saying, you guys are getting fed stuff all day long. That's not godly. I mean, if your teachers are not born again believers that know what they're talking about, you're getting fed stuff all day long. All day long. That is ungodly. All I'm saying is, you guys can know Jesus enough to not buy it. You can also leave the classroom. I did that when I was younger too. They were teaching Greek mythology. And I said, I raised my hand. I was in fourth grade. I said, I don't think I should be learning this. And she let me sit out of the classroom. But that's not like, oh, Pastor Mike, standing up for the truth. No, it's, I don't want to hear it. The more mature you are in the Lord, the less you're going to want to hear people's garbage. Seriously. It's not a sign of maturity to say, I'm mature enough, I'm just going to sit here and watch this movie. I'm going to sit here and let you talk to me. That's not a sign of maturity. It's a sign of immaturity. Because you're immature enough to halfway agree with some of what they're saying. It's tolerable. The more immature you are in the knowledge of Jesus, the more tolerable your friend's speeches to you. The more tolerable your teacher's speeches to you. It's not a sign of maturity to sit in on it. I'm not saying you got to leave every class. All I'm saying is, again, you'd have to leave the world if you wanted to get away from lies. And the Bible says that. And that's not what I'm talking about. All I'm saying is, though, is that be on your guard. And how do you do that? If you're, during even your day, you're listening to the Lord. Lord, you know I'm going to listen to you. That's how you allow the Holy Spirit to put a fence up around your mind. It's not good. The way that we perceive things today is not right. It's really not right. The more you get to know the Lord, the more you start noticing. Wow. You start being able to discern the good and the bad in people's minds. And you're like, you know what? That's demonic. That's not right. I just told Miss Kim and Miss Lindsay that the other day. Something that people think is just normal today. I'm like, that's demonic. That's straight from the devil. That's from the spirit in this world. And people in this world, and I am going to close right here. The people in this world, their hearts are being controlled by somebody else. It doesn't mean everybody you see is demon-possessed. I'm not talking about demon possession and all that kind of stuff. They're going to be foaming at the mouth to be inspired by Satan. It's the way it is. Jesus said that in John 8 to people that were even allowing him to teach them. He said, you're following the devil. It's not some... Jesus is not telling them that. I'm just trying to condemn you because my idea is to call people vipers and call people stuff just to make them feel bad. That's not the point. But regardless of how they felt after it, because that really doesn't matter to the truth. That really doesn't matter how someone feels about it. Regardless of how they felt after, though, Jesus is trying to tell them, you know, you are a victim of somebody else's opinion and you don't even realize it. You believe a lot. Think about it. If you love them, how would you not tell them that? You are a victim of somebody else's opinion. And just so you know, there are people in here right now, we are victims of other people's opinions. And that's the truth of it. We cannot go on this world listening to stuff and not putting the truth first. You know, I'm glad everybody is here tonight. If you weren't here, you wouldn't have heard anything you heard just now. But I'm glad you're here tonight. Church isn't everything, but church is a huge part of it. A huge part of it. You know, I'm not saying...
prioritizing church is going to do you any good. But if you prioritize the truth, prioritizing church is somewhere in there. It really, really is. Okay? I'm not saying this just to get more attendance or nothing like that. If it wasn't this church, if you find a great church that teaches the exact same thing as we do, that's okay, because I believe we're teaching the truth. It could be in different measure. More knowledgeable, less knowledgeable, but teaching the exact same thing, go there. That's fine. I'm caring about your mind. I don't care about you being here. I really don't. We don't care about that kind of stuff. You know, it's just another body in here. That's not the point. We want the body of Christ edified. If you find a church that's just like this, then go there. That's okay. Do as the Lord leads you, though. But the point is not church. The point is the truth. Just so happens when you prioritize the truth, you prioritize church along with it. I'm telling you what. When I say I'm closing, like, this is really my last statement here. When I get to a point, God willing, I get married, I have kids, I don't care what you're doing. There ain't no softball practice. There ain't no wrestling match. There ain't no whatever you're involved in. I don't care about school. You're going to go to church. We're going to go to church as often as we need to go to church, because I'm going to raise you up to know Jesus. The only thing that I'm glad about, the only thing that I'm glad about my mom and dad, about raising me, was that we didn't know a lot of stuff back then. But every night, when we were young enough to not know the difference, they said, you know, are you going to be reading your Bible? We're going to be going to church. Because guess what? They're going to at least, I'm not saying you can make your kids, don't try to force your kids to understand the truth, because they're just going to hate you for it. You provoke your kids to anger by badgering them all the time. But give them every, church is one of them, and reading their Bible is another one. Give them every opportunity, though, that you possibly can, that if they're going to know the truth and choose Jesus, it's not going to be on your hands, the fact that they didn't. If your kids are making wrong choices right now, you take every opportunity you can to say, I'm going to give you the opportunity to know Jesus. Don't try to shove it down their throat. And you're going to provoke them to anger. You just pray for them, and you know, once you prayed for them, then stop praying for them. The Lord heard you the first time. Just believe the Lord, you know what? I believe you heard me the first time. I entrust them to you. I entrust them to your Holy Spirit. You don't got to shove it down their throat. Again, you're just going to provoke someone to anger. It's better to stay quiet sometimes. But if you're living in my house, here's part of the prerequisite. Every time I go to church, you're at church. Every time. And every time that I'm going to, if I'm reading my Bible every day, you're going to read your Bible every day. Talk about chores. Forget the chores. That's not going to make them respectable citizens. Get them in the Bible. I didn't say the word, notice, right? Get them in the Bible, the scriptures. Bring them to church. That's like square one. And you know what? I don't have to be a parent to know good parenting, because I know Jesus. He's a pretty good parent. That's all you need to know. You need to know Jesus. That's it. He's a great parent. He's a better parent than you guys are. He is. He knows the best. I'm taking this from Scripture. Prioritize truth, number one. I don't care what your kids said. That's why they're your kids. If they're old enough to make their own decision, they're old enough to live on their own also. It's not mean. It's that if you're going to live in my household, this is what we do in our household. We're going to know the truth. I don't want you to perceive this the wrong way, but this is where I'm sure many of us are struggling with things like that right now. That's okay. It's okay to say, you know, if you got to be the spiritual head of your household, I don't care what your husband did. I don't care what your kids are doing. If you want to, I know the truth. It doesn't make you crazy just because you're the only one that knows the truth, even though people might look at you, your whole family might look at you sideways for doing certain things. It's okay. Let God look at you and say, yep, that's good. Let everybody else look at you sideways. I don't care about everybody else's head and what they're doing, their mouth and all their weird faces and stuff they might make at you, or their opinions or what they say. You're already accepted by God, so all that can fall right off your back. That's okay. You're accepted by God, and I want to do what's right in His sight. You know what's right in God's sight? Read the book of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, aka faith in Jesus. That's the only thing God's asking the whole world to do right now. He ain't asking them not to murder. He ain't asking them not to commit adultery. He's not asking them not to steal. He's not asking any of that. He's just saying, just do this one thing, and I can fix your whole life. One thing, and I'll fix your whole life up. And yet sometimes that one thing is like second or third or whatever. Man, if you thought that your kids would never get sick again for the rest of their lives, if you thought they were going to grow up and pick the right mate, if you thought they were going to grow up and not just have a career and then die and do nothing with their life, that the Holy Spirit was going to use to preach the gospel and save millions of people, what's your life worth if you don't know the truth? What's it worth? You're just dead. That's all you are. You're dead while you still live. That's all you're doing. You're dead. You're doing nothing. I'm not going to be that person. Walk around dead.
just corrupting right into a grave. And you know what? I accomplished nothing with my life. Unless the Holy Spirit's working through us, nothing's happening. You could be a big businessman, nothing's happening. And the truth's the only thing that can allow you to walk into that. If you were not sure, let me just say this real quick. If you were not even sure, as I'm talking to the teens right now, if you're making life decisions right now, and you're, if it wasn't like this blowing, mind-blowing revelation that you should do certain things, I would stop right now. Just listen to Jesus. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen for the rest of your life, thank God. We make big life decisions. And parents, please don't push your kids for careers. Don't push your kids for college. Don't push your kids to be in an honor, whatever you call it. I don't really care what it's called in school. Don't push your kids to sports. Don't push your kids to nothing. Thank God my parents, and I know I'm going a little long, but I think my parents gave me enough room. They didn't push me to all that stuff. You know, there was a time even where I was like 17, 18. I didn't even have a job yet. Well, I mean, I was working for the church, but kind of it wasn't consistent back then. I was kind of doing odds and ends and stuff like that. I'm not talking about being irresponsible, mind you. I'm not talking about just loafing on the couch. But I wanted to spend time with God. And yet we would push our kids to sports, push our kids to all that. But your kid wants to spend time with God. I just think that that's not important to us sometimes. Here's my point in everything. Allow your kids the opportunity to hear the Lord, every opportunity that you can get them to hear God, and leave it at that. They don't want to be in sports, don't make them be in sports. Sports is not important. Nobody cares about sports. Nobody cares about sports. If you do sports, let's just say that you're not safe. You do sports. You're a great athlete. Let's say you're in the NBA. Whoop-de-doo, and you die. Nobody cares. No one in the resurrection is going to be looking back on the NBA and saying, wow, that was so important to my life. Nobody cares about the NBA. Nobody's going to care about it. Just think a little bit more age to come. No one's going to care about your life choices. You're making life choices and the world will respect you for it and the world's going to die. What does that matter? All of them will be burning in hell if they don't receive certain things. And those are the ones that are respecting you right now for making your great life choices. Know the truth. If you don't go to college, that's okay. College is awesome to not go to if God doesn't want you to go to college. You're going to fry your brain. Remember, these are ungodly people that you're saying, teach me how to live my life. We have born-again believing kids. And if you had to go to college, like had to, God would show you, okay, go to this one though. This is a little better than this one, whatever. It would be great if we had Christian colleges that can do that kind of thing. You're going to be a doctor? Okay. God like totally ordained you and anointed you to be a doctor? Okay. There's no Christian colleges that you can get a degree from? Okay, that's okay. But go to this one. God would show you that kind of stuff. But just so you know, you are like a mechanic taking lessons from a scholar when you go to a college expecting to get what you need out of it. I'll explain myself. You're a born-again believer wanting to live a godly life, hopefully. I want everyone to raise your hand if you're willing to do so. Do you want to live a godly life? That matter anything to you? Okay. You want to live a godly life, and you're going to have an ungodly person tell you how to do that. Can we just be sober? Don't go with what you've thought before. Be sober. Be sober-minded. You are talking to someone who is ruled by the devil in their mind, asking them, teach me how to live my life. And yet you say you want to live a godly life. And that may be true. I'm not even doubting you. If you're a believer, I believe you that you want to live a godly life. But your desire doesn't do anything. You need to be instructed. I would go to Bible college. This was advice I heard from somebody first. I would go to a Bible college that I knew was teaching the truth. If I had to go to college, I would go to a Bible college first just to get prepared on certain things if I had to. And then go to a school to be a doctor. Just so I could at least have some preparation. And even the school I picked to go to be a doctor, God would show me the right one. So I don't fry my brain. Everything that somebody says when they're not a believer, everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. Careful who you ask to teach you about your life. Careful about that. I'm just saying, because you don't want to come out on the other end and you don't even realize what happened. But all of us here look at you talk and your brain sounds like it's coming out like scrambled eggs. All I'm saying is, careful who you ask to say, hey, I need to learn from you. Careful. Get somebody godly to teach you. And if worse came to worse and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to wait right now, God, you'll show me. I mean, like, he'll smack you in the face with it. If you don't have a smack in the face revelation of something, it's not worth doing. I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying pray about it. Praying about it doesn't do anything. What do you feel the Lord wants you to do? Well, you know, I just got this peace and like, no. Let him smack you in the face with an opportunity. I'm not talking about just circumstantially. In your mind, you're like, there's no way you could convince me that God doesn't want me to do this. Until that happens, stay right where you are. Don't do a thing. Stay right where you are. It ain't worth it. Unless you want scrambled eggs up here. Don't do it. Who are you to say that? This is not my opinion. I'm trying to promote the truth as number one. Why? That everybody in here can live a godly, Holy Spirit-led life, make an impact on this world, and then Jesus can come, and then we can go up into our own world and, you know, do our thing, and that's all great. There's no sense in learning from wrong people. There's no sense in all that. It's not worth it. Not worth your time. Don't think like an American. Think like a believer. We think like Americans sometimes. America doesn't know jack. Think like Jesus. You got him right on the inside of you. But I'm going through turmoil right now because I don't know what to do. So stop. That's always a great, great option. Just stop doing everything. Don't make choices anymore. I promise you this, because I have scripture to back this up for you. I promise you that if you just listen to Jesus, if you just listen to him, all these things will be added to you. Notice I'm not married right now. Do I care? No. You know why I don't care? Because I'm listening to Jesus, my purpose in life. If and when, God can go like this. You, there you go. And that's fine with me. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm just looking at Jesus. I don't care when that is. I used to care. I don't care when that is. I really don't care. Because it's going to smack me in the face when it's necessary. Everything follows if you listen to Jesus. The one thing that's needful. Please don't take the one thing that's needful and act like it's just another one of those things that's needful. Man, what a disrespect. What a disrespect to the Holy Spirit. Take the one thing, he says, the one thing that's needful, and you say, no, it's just one of the things. You know Jesus, but you also need to go to college, you need to get a career, you need to live the American dream. No. None of that is needful. If you never had what people call a good career, that's okay. You listen to Jesus. You're obedient to God. And I am not going to get to the end of this age and somebody tell me, I never knew you, dude. I never knew you. You did a lot of so-called awesome things in the eyes of people. I didn't know you, though. That would suck. That would really suck. I didn't know you. You didn't bother listening to me. That would really, really suck. And that's just the right word for it. I ain't going to do it. Well, what is it to me what you're going to do? I'm just setting an example right now. I'll tell you to your face right now, I'm not doing that. I never went to college. This is my career right now. But I'm listening to Jesus. This is not even my purpose right now. I hope the Holy Spirit's doing this right now, not me. It's not my purpose. I don't take credit for something that should be the Holy Spirit. My purpose is to listen to Jesus. Be a Mary. Just listen. College? Not bad if God's doing it. But again, it ain't going to be no little, oh, I think I have a peace. I like college. The Bible says, guard your heart above all else. You don't want this messed with. Just because you haven't prioritized it before doesn't mean you can't start right now. Right like tonight. The Bible says, today, start that. Today, start listening to me. The most important thing for you to guard is your mind. And yet we make ourselves susceptible to everybody and everything. That's wrong. No wonder we think the way we do. No wonder we think the way we do today. Just be careful with decisions like that. God would have you do other things than what you're doing right now. And that's the truth, okay? And we love you. End it with that. We really do. I wouldn't bother saying like this if the Lord didn't love you from in here. That's the way it is. You guys just express your desire to live a life that actually means something. If you want any of that, you want a piece of the pie there, that, do what I'm telling you to do right now. Not for my sake, because this is... And don't just say, oh, because I think it's the Lord that speaks through Pastor Mike. No. Again, let's not be gullible. So you're going to take my advice because I say, oh, jump off a bridge and God told me. No, let's not be gullible. Let's say, okay, where you see it in Scripture, let's back this up. Let's see where the proof is. Don't take it because I'm saying it. Because there's a lot of people that's going to say a lot of things to you, especially in the name of the Lord. Don't say it because I say God told me to say it. Say it because it's right. Because it's the one thing that God told you to do. And that's the one thing you should prioritize. I promise you, please don't be afraid of doing that one thing. Don't be afraid to stop doing everything and just listen. And let what comes, comes. I would hate for all of us to continue in this, and for some of us in here to be led astray. That would stink. I would hate for that to happen. God loves you enough to take time right now. If this means anything to you, please don't leave here and revert back to what you were thinking before you came in here. Please change your mind. I'm not asking you to continue. You know, some of you say, just continue. If you just continue. Yeah, continue if you're thinking right. But we don't need to continue. We need to change our thinking. Change. Like, I'm not thinking something right now. And I need to change my thinking, so I'm thinking something totally opposite. There's a lot of us in here, right? That's for us. We need that. It's not just keep doing what you're doing. God will come through. No, He won't. He really won't. He will not come through for you. Change your thinking. Your thinking needs to go from A to B, or rather A to Z. It's not just keep going. You know, it sounds really good, right? Because it makes you feel like, oh, everything is just right, and I'm thinking. No. You're righteous. You should feel right because you're righteous. You should feel right because you're always accepted by God, no matter how you think. Miss Kim just said that before service. We're righteous regardless of how we think. But if you want to live a godly life like you just expressed to me before, a good test of that desire would be, hey, you know what? Let's reconsider this whole thing. What thing? Just my whole life. Like, let's just reconsider this right now. Because this ain't going in a good direction right now. I don't like it. How many of you guys, please don't answer this. How many of you guys like the direction right now? Where you see your future going? You guys like it? Now, why do you like it? Because you see like a good career ahead of you, or like what? Do you see ahead of you like the Holy Spirit operating through you, gifts of the Spirit producing stuff through you, awesome stuff like that? Do you see that, or are you seeing like career, your typical person? It's just a good question to ask. Lots of us, we need a change here. All right, we need a little, because you can get off track. You can get off track. It's not impossible for you to get off track. Except when you listen to Jesus. You can't be off track then. Because He's the shepherd of your soul. But the thing is, we got to allow Him to shepherd. Listen to Jesus. Don't make the decision you're trying to make. Don't make it. Just stop right now. Boop, okay, I'm done. Unless you think what I'm saying is wrong biblically. If you think what I'm saying is wrong biblically, and I am saying this seriously, if you think it's wrong biblically, don't accept it. But if you can see this biblically, yeah, you know what? The Bible like totally says that all over the place. Then listen to what I'm saying. Because to not would be to not listen to the Lord. Don't do what you're doing right now. Just don't do it. I'm saving you from a lot of junk. I'm telling you a lot of junk right now. Okay. How many of us in here... Don't answer this, though. How many of us in here feel that being a success is going to leaving and going to going to school and getting married and having kids? And how many of you guys think that's successful? God doesn't find that successful. He really doesn't. God doesn't think that's a success. He doesn't. He doesn't care for that. He doesn't. You know what the Lord wants? He wants a heart that's hearing Him. You're the biggest success to God. And the Bible said that He honors you for that. God don't care about all that stuff. We'd think our kids were bums if they didn't go to college and get a career the way we want them to. And a bum is someone who don't listen to the Lord. That's a bum. You could be a billionaire bum. Work every day.
have kids and family and house and dog, and you're a bum if you don't listen to Jesus. This is not an option for us. We have to know this. Let God do what you think you need to do. How will I know? You don't need to know. God will just do it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, maybe you should start listening so you can. Let God do what you think you need to do. Stop. Stop. Let God do what you think you need to do. You don't need to do that. I'm telling you, I'm not asking you. I'm not saying pray about it. You do not need to do what you think you need to do. You do not need to do what you think you need to do. He needs to do it if it needs to be done. Let it go now. You can that's something you can choose. God's not going to choose that for you. You can choose that. You can say, you know what, Lord? What would it be worth to me to gain all this stuff and be led astray in the process just because I made a stupid decision? That's not worth it. Let God do it. Let God do it. When and if, let God do it. That's from the Lord. You can judge it. I'm telling you, that's from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's just pray real quick. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for sound wisdom, Lord. I'm not talking about something I said, Lord. That's not sound. I'm just talking about, Lord, something that perhaps you said through me. That would be sound then. In that case, Lord, that would be sound. And I'm not asking anybody to believe something just because Joe Schmo said it. Because, Lord, I have no authority, Lord, to just tell somebody, believe it because I said so. If that does anything to you inside, that's called the Holy Spirit witnessing to you. And if that witness to you is in agreement with this, that's a good indication. Secondly, if you can see these things that they are scriptural, the Holy Spirit will also show you that. That's the basis, though, that someone should be basing their opinions on. That's also a secondary confirmation to you. Can I just pray for somebody, if you don't have to come up here. Can I just pray for somebody right now that if you're... I don't know where you're at right now and listen to this, but I believe that there's got to be somebody here that relates to what I was saying and is kind of saying, you know, I would like that though. Maybe you don't see how that can happen, but you're like, I would really like that, to have a godly life, not a life that's just garbage, it's not meaning anything to anybody. I would like the Holy Spirit to use me. I would like to fulfill the plan of God for my life. I don't want to just live. I'd like to pray for you, and you don't have to come up here. I'm not asking you to do so. But I am asking you to agree with me, though, in your heart, before God, because the prayer of a righteous man avails much, and I can pray for you, and I believe that God's inside of me. He's inside of you also, but if you're a little confused right now about some things, that's okay. Then get somebody who does know. And I'm telling you right now, I know the Lord, and I can pray over you right now. And this is not your life, mind you. You need to be trusting the Lord, but this is a good kickstart. And you got to agree with me. You got to be in agreement with me. And I'll pray with you. Again, you don't have to come up here, but I will pray with you. If you from your seat, if you want to agree with it, I will absolutely pray with you right now. Thank you, Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want someone to raise their hand. If you want that for yourself and you're saying, you know what, Lord, I'm relating with at least a lot of the things, Lord, that were said. And I'm wanting you to live through me. I don't want to make stupid decisions. I want a godly life. And if that's you at all, I want you to raise your hand. No one's looking at you. I just want to know that I'm praying with somebody. And if that's you, just raise your hand quick, and I'll recognize you. And then I'll pray with you just right from here. I'm not asking you to come up here. I'm just asking you, because when you take a step to say, you know what, I'm going to submit to what's being said, you're going to receive the benefit of what's being said. But you're not going to receive any benefit of it unless you submit to this right now. It's like the widow at Zarephath. She received because Elisha was a help to her. But if she hadn't submitted to that, she would have never received nothing. So you just submit to it. And honestly, I believe right now, I'll pray that, you know what, it's for whoever raised their hand right now, that this prayer is applicable for you. You just raise your hand and say, Jesus, you know what? Yeah, I want that. I want that. I'm going to wait for like a few more seconds. If you want to trade your plans and say, you know what, Lord, scratch the whole thing. Let's just go with what you want. Whatever that may be, I'm not saying one thing or another, but whatever that may be, you want the Lord's plans for you. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm going to pray right now. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to ask the Lord, this is not applicable to you. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I'm praying right now that by your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, you would give discernment to every person that raised their hand and, Lord, acknowledge that this is for them. Father, I pray that if someone didn't raise their hand, that they would come up afterward and, Lord, that they would desire prayer for this, Lord. But this particular prayer, Lord, is not applicable to anyone that did not raise their hand, Lord, for whatever reason, Lord. But this is specifically for people, Lord, that have raised their hand to submit to this. So thank you, Father, right now. Now, as I said, Lord, I pray that we'd have the boldness to be able to come up here and get prayer afterwards. We need to come to a believer, Lord, that knows what they're talking about, Lord, if we're a little confused on something. And if we're not confused, then that's okay. Then we're good. But for those that raise their hand, Father, I pray that you would give them discernment, powerful discernment by your Holy Spirit, not just to make a decision, but to know when to not make a decision. Thank you, Jesus. To not make a decision is just as important to make a decision, Lord. So we're only asking you what to do, Lord, but there's a lot of stuff that we should not do. How silly is that, Lord, that we would just ask you what to do? Father, there's a lot of things right now that you don't want us to do. And Lord, those are not decisions that we have to know ahead of time. They're not decisions we have to know now or ever. We have the Spirit of God to know those things. And I pray, Father, for that discernment given to their hearts right now in the name of Jesus, that they would understand for sure what to do and what not to do. And that their decisions would happen according to your Holy Spirit, Lord. The provision would happen by the Holy Spirit for all their decision making. Thank you for that, Lord. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We know we are heard by you right now. We know we are recipients of this, Lord, right now, because we are in Christ. And we thank you. That's our only reason, Lord. We are not heard for our good intentions. We are not heard, Lord, because we are so humble. We are heard because of Jesus. And in that name and in only that name, I thank you, Father, for this blessing, Lord, and anyone that is willing to receive it. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father. Amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.